Good evening and welcome. Tonight we gather together for worship, for reflection, and for celebration. Thank you for joining us online for Christmas Eve 2021. We are blessed by your presence. I pray the love of God will saturate your home tonight. And through songs and reflections and prayers, we hope you and your family will be drawn closer to God through Jesus Christ. And we pray that the Holy Spirit will encircle us all with hope and with peace, with joy and with love. Join me in prayer, will you? Lord, on this Christmas Eve, we pause to prepare our hearts for a most beautiful celebration. Your birth and coming to earth as our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we thank you. Clear our minds so we can focus on you and the joy you bring to us through your gift of salvation. May the same thrill and anticipation that filled Mary, the chosen mother of Jesus, consume us and draw us close to you. May our spirits cry out, hallelujah, with the host of angels who first delivered the good news of great joy to humble, awestruck shepherds that night so long ago. The news that would literally one day be heard around the world. Help us remember and reflect on the awesome prophecies foretelling your birth since the beginning of time. Give us eyes of faith to see on this side of the cross what prophets chose to believe through promises and visions. Emmanuel, God with us, Prince of Peace, the Son of God, Messiah. May all that you are saturate our senses and fill our hearts with both gratitude and worship as we bow this evening before you and offer our prayer to you. Empty us of sin and anything that could inhibit our understanding or block the beautiful celebration of your birth. We surrender all that we may receive your all this Christmas Eve night. Whether it's one of us or an entire family, we want to prepare our hearts for you, even as you are preparing a place for us to join you one day. May every thought, every desire, every word, and every gift, every action this special night usher us into that place where you will meet us as we are. May the meditation of our hearts be acceptable to you and bring you the glory and honor you so deserve. And while you gave us the greatest gift, we bring you gifts too. The declaration of our obedience and devotion to you, the quieting of our hearts and spirits, and the joyful overflow of worship and adoration. May this preparation night be a holy night as we once again receive and celebrate your great gift to us this Christmas. In your precious name we pray. Amen. Lighting a candle is a simple yet profound act. It is a testimony to the power of light over darkness. 4 weeks ago, we began our journey toward Christmas and lit the first candle of Advent, the hope or prophecy candle. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. 3 weeks ago, we lit the second candle of Advent, the peace candle. Let us remember our need for a Savior to save us from our sins and give us peace with God. 2 weeks ago, we lit the candle of joy. And may the joy of the Lord be the source of all of our strength. Last week, we lit the love candle. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Jesus Christ is the true reason for hope, for peace, for joy, and for love in this season and forever. As we light the Christ candle, celebrating the end of Advent and the arrival of Christ in Christmas, let us remember how our Savior came once as a lowly baby, that the world through him might be saved, and how he will return one day in glory. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood or of the will of the flesh or the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth.
Shining star in heaven so bright, lowly tent there flocks by night. Could this be our faith thou sight? Alleluia, what a Savior. Gifts of gifts in manger lay, hope of man no more delay. God the just his love display. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Eternal Word made flesh was he, promised prophets long to see. Jesus Christ, our mystery. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
Church's praises bring, blood-bought bride and matchless king. Heaven and earth now join to sing. Hallelujah, what a
And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. and this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was the governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered, and she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there was in that same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign to you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth, goodwill towards men."
Gloria in excelsis Deo, Gloria in excelsis, Gloria in excelsis Deo, glory to God, glory to God on high. Mighty King, glorified, seated at the right hand of God, you laid down your heavenly crown and chose to take on the sins of the world. Gloria in excelsis Deo, Gloria in excelsis, Gloria in excelsis Deo, glory to God, glory to God on high. Jesus Christ, only Son, bringing peace and mercy to all. Precious Lamb, Holy One, with the angels we shout out your praise. Gloria in excelsis Deo, Gloria in excelsis, Gloria in excelsis Deo, glory to God, glory to God. Gloria in excelsis Deo, Gloria in excelsis, Gloria in excelsis Deo, glory to God, glory to God. You alone are the Prince of Peace. excelsis Deo, gloria in excelsis, gloria in excelsis Deo, glory to God, glory to God, glory to God, glory to God.
Reading from Isaiah chapter 9, verses 2 through 7. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. You have multiplied the nation, you have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as people exult when dividing plunder. For the yoke of their burden and the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressors, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For all the boots of the trampling warriors and all the garments rolled in blood shall be burned as fuel for the fire. For a child has been born for us, a son given to us. Authority rests on his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His authority shall grow continually, and there shall be endless peace for the throne of David and his kingdom. And he will establish and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time onward and forevermore. And the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this.
My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God. My soul magnifies
to God the Father, and glory be to God the Son.
My soul magnifies
to God the Spirit.
My spirit rejoices
to God.
My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices to God, the Savior. My soul magnifies
to God, the Spirit.
My spirit rejoices
to God.
My soul magnifies
to God, the Mighty.
My spirit rejoices to God, my Savior. My soul magnifies to God,
the Lord.
My spirit rejoices to God.
The season of Advent began 4 weeks ago on November 28th. As a church, we have reflected on the theme Messiah. On each of the 4 Sundays of Advent, we explored, meditated, and confessed Jesus to be our Messiah. Messiah means anointed one or king or special ruler. Thus, our confession is one that places the anointed one as our personal ruler or king. We have established through the written testimony of Scripture that Jesus, the Son of Mary, is the Messiah. Jesus was not only the son of Mary and raised by her husband Joseph, but Jesus was God's son. On each successive week, we looked at some attributes of the Messiah, and we prayed along the way that the Messiah would become clearer to us. On the first week, we talked about a prophesied Messiah who was sent to rescue us from our own destruction. Next, we pondered about a Messiah that was provided to serve and minister to our greatest need, the need to be healed from brokenness and saved from sin. Then we basked in the joy of a Messiah who was positioned to rejoice over us. The Messiah, Jesus, was sent to take delight in the saving work of God because his work was to reconcile us back to God. And finally, we took a moment to survey a Messiah sent to proclaim the justice, mercy, and love of God. And in turn, we committed to proclaim the Messiah through our words and our actions and our service and our love. Tonight on Christmas Eve, we continue to immerse ourselves in the life of a Messiah who came once before and who is coming again. Tonight we celebrate his birth, not because this is the date on which he was born. We don't know the exact date. We celebrate it because it was the cosmic occasion that set in order a new kingdom and a new life. And it was promised long ago that the Messiah would make good on God's plan to overhaul corruption, clean up messes, bind up wounds, and provide a pathway of love that leads directly to the Creator of the heaven and the earth. A light has come to shine in the darkness, and that light was life. And unto us, a child has been born and given, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Prince of Peace, Everlasting Father, and Mighty God. I want us to hear some reflections on these names from some friends of mine, and we'll get to those friends in a few moments. But first, let us consider the Wonderful Counselor. A Wonderful Counselor. As Messiah, he will be responsible for planning the way of this new kingdom and new life. As a counselor, he would possess knowledge and information that would benefit the kingdom and the inhabitants of this kingdom. As a counselor, he will provide guidance for the lost. As a counselor, he will offer correction for the wayward. As a counselor, he will give ear and attention to those who call on him. Wonderful Counselor. Sadly, in the past couple of years, many have suffered from depression and mental breakdowns and relationship conflict. In my position as a minister, I have received calls from many asking for my counsel and help as they deal with crises. I do my best to listen and give them some words of comfort and wisdom and lead folks to hear from God. I recall one friend who was in a relationship crisis with their spouse. We met a few times, we talked, we cried, we prayed, and I helped direct them to some resources for help. A week or so ago, I sent them a text to check on them, and this is what they said in response. They said, I'm good, you know, thanks. Not much has changed in my relationship with my spouse, but it has made me rely more on God in my relationship with him. This situation is for my good, regardless of the outcome. I'm going to honor our covenant because I want to leave my kids an inheritance, not just money. So I have peace, and I will continue to wait on him. Apparently, he's also waiting on me. My friend reminded me of my own need to wait on him and trust that God is the Wonderful Counselor. It seems fitting this Christmas that we invite the Wonderful Counselor into our stories, our hearts, invite him into our conflict, our stress, and our failures. God has promised us a Messiah who would bring heart-altering counsel the wonderful counselor, possibly one of the greatest truths we have learned recently is that God wants us to trust him with everything, not just some things, but everything. Wonderful counselor. Now I want us to hear from a good friend of mine. Her name is Beth Bowers, and she is a professor at my alma mater at Rochester College. I asked her to share a reflection in connection to the horrific shooting that took place in Oxford, Michigan a few weeks ago. Not only does Beth live nearby Oxford, Michigan, but she also she teaches some of the students that attend Oxford High School, and so she has a very personal connection to that tragedy. Listen to her as she shares the significance of the Prince of Peace during a time of chaos.
I was sitting in my car, quickly checking email before my next class at Rochester University began, when I saw a message on social media from my friend, Rutha. It said, "I have all of my kids with me as well as Sadie Lynn. Everyone is okay." Confused and concerned, I quickly checked the breaking news section on my phone and saw that there was a school shooting at Oxford High School, just two towns over from my own neighborhood, 15 minutes away. Details were scarce, and at that point we had no idea that the shooting would be fatal for four students. My first reaction was to make a mental inventory of the numerous families and friends we have in that community. And my second reaction was to text my own 13-year-old daughter and tell her, before she heard from anyone else, that this was happening and that her two good friends, Esther and Sadie Lynn, were safe. And then my heart sank when it hit me that my very own class, only minutes from beginning, had two Oxford early college students in it. I walked into that space, that classroom, feeling a mixture of shock, sadness, anger, and empathy for these young souls entrusted to my care and instruction each week, grieving the reality of a world, a creation, damaged by evil and groaning for redemption. When I got home that evening, our family spent time processing and talking, and my 9-year-old asked us the question that broke our hearts: "Will I be safe?" Isaiah 9:6-7 says, "For a child has been born for us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His authority shall grow continually, and there shall be endless peace." Endless peace? If I am honest, I am not feeling endless peace. In fact, I feel more in line with the prophet Jeremiah when he laments people saying, "Peace, peace," when there is no peace. When my child asks me if he will be safe at school, and I have to hesitate before answering, there is no peace. When I have to scramble to review and practice the lockdown measures at my own university, there is no peace. When we are entering year two of a global pandemic, when the ugly systems of racism continue to fracture communities, and when our partisan politics override our basic human capacity to love our neighbors, there is no peace. During Advent, we anticipate the Christ's arrival. His first arrival in a small, quiet, ordinary community in the Middle East 2,000 years ago. His final arrival, that hope which fires our longing, and the ways in which he comes to us right now, in our present moments of sorrow, anger, grief, joy, love, and hope. Through it all, he promises us peace. This cannot be a laying on the beach without a care in the world kind of peace, because that won't hold up under the realities of global pandemics, systems of racism, divisive partisan politics, and school shootings. No. The peace of Christ is a broad promise of wholeness, completeness, well-being, flourishing, shalom. It is a peace intimately intermingled with hope of God's reconciling love and the promise of new creation. It is a peace married to the story that God enters our human suffering by taking it upon God's very self in the incarnation of the Christ. It is a peace that only comes from God with us, Emmanuel. It is a peace that is already, but not yet. My family has leaned into this prayer of incarnation throughout this season of Advent. And it is my prayer for all of us as we lean into Christ, our peace. In chaos, God is with us. In suffering, God is with us. In uncertainty, God is with us. In whatever we endure, God is with us.
Some of you know that our church supports a ministry in the Central American country of Honduras. Joe Boer, one of our shepherds, has been very instrumental in creating connections with our neighbors in Honduras. Amongst the several ministries that we support in Honduras is the Didasco Children's Home, led by Jorge and Rosa Castillo. For over 20 years, Jorge and his family have cared for children who have been abandoned by their parents, particularly their fathers. Now, I'm sure Jorge can identify with Jesus being everlasting Father and the promise of Jesus to love children even in the absence of their mothers and their fathers. Here is Jorge with a greeting for us all the way from Honduras, and he also includes a short reflection.
Hello, good morning, good evening, dear brothers and sisters at Reynoldsburg Church of Christ. They are pastors Dion and Christy Fraser, your lovely congregation. God bless you and Merry Christmas to everyone. Even though you already know us, but again, let us to introduce ourselves. We are Jorge and Rosa Castillo, the Didasco Children's Home Directors in Tegucigalpa, Honduras. And of course, behind us, it's our daughter, Michelle, and her husband, Marvin.
Hello.
Hello. Hello everyone, we want to wish you a Merry Christmas, a Happy New Year, and that may God bless you all and tell you that we love you very much.
We want to thank you very much for all that you have been doing for this ministry of children. And now that we're celebrating this Christmas season, we want to tell you that our hearts are full of joy. And in that way, we would like to share with you that in last Thursday, December the 16th, we enjoyed a wonderful Christmas time with our children. Of course, this also included a great dinner, gift, music, and a nice relationship. This was also a wonderful time to celebrate the Christmas spirit, who is the same Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Of course, we also meditate about the Word of God and the book of Isaiah, chapter 9, verse 16, where the prophet Isaiah made this announcement no less than 800 years later than Jesus comes to this world. And the prophet was saying this: "For us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulder, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." This is the most important, that he came like a Prince of Peace. We teach to our children that for all of us that we have Jesus in our hearts, we celebrate Christmas differently than the world does. We cannot avoid, of course, that the Christmas environment envelops us, but that our feeling and our understanding is totally in the Spirit. Our children also enjoy knowing that that night, also in the book of Luke, chapter 2, verse 9 to 11, an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great and joy for all the people. That today in town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He's the Messiah, the Lord." So it's good for us to tell you that the children also understand that Jesus, in his first coming, he didn't come to reign, but he came to mediate between peace, between God and man. And this is very important. It's a very important reason that he came, and that's wonderful that he came like a Prince of Peace. So, but also in the book of Colossians, chapter 1 and verse 20, said that through him to reconcile all things unto himself, having made peace through his blood of Christ. So, dear brothers and pastors, we are really enjoying this glorious season when the Lord enveloped all of us with his peace, and that the children, our children in this case, they are not the exception to understand and to enjoy this celebration. So we want to let you know that this wonderful promise from the Lord strengthens the hearts of our children and gives them also a new reason to live. That although one day in the past they left their family for whatever irregular situation, they are now learning to live by faith, knowing that they have now a new expectation of life in Christ. So finally, we want to thank you again for everything that you are doing, and with your help, you also allowing that we can do all the things very good for the children. So thank you very much for this opportunity to share with you a little bit about the Christmas spirit, who is Jesus Christ in our heart.
Back in about 2004, I served as a camp counselor at an event called Elevate. This event was held on the campus of Rochester College, my alma mater. The group I led was a collection of 7th and 8th grade teenagers. One of my kids was named Caitlin. Now, I knew her family well. Her father was a science professor on campus. Her uncle, we were classmates together. From early on, I knew this young teen was special. Now she's almost 30 years old. She's married, and she's a cancer survivor. When I heard of her diagnosis of breast cancer, I was devastated, and I was afraid. But I observed this young woman fight cancer and share her reliance on Jesus, the mighty God. I want you to listen to her story.
Hi, my name is Caitlin. I just want to share a little bit about how mighty God has been in my life, especially over the last 2 years. In February of 2020, just a week before or a couple of weeks before the pandemic really hit here in the US, I was diagnosed with breast cancer. Came as a complete shock. I am young. I have no family history. And this happened right as we're getting news about the coronavirus. And it also happened right alongside me making the decision to start my doctorate. So as the next few months came and went, I was faced with the decision of trying to figure out who I was and how I was going to approach this difficult season, how I was going to try to process what it meant for me to have a disease that my own body had created, how to go through that on my own as I wasn't able to have family or friends with me during my appointments, and you know, what it meant for my life of faith as I began a doctorate that focuses on spiritual formation. So in the midst of all of this, I was prompted through my class readings and conversations with friends and my classmates and family to just really consider what I can learn and who I'm seeing God being as presence in my life in the midst of difficulty. And one of the things that I'm especially grateful for is that during the first semester of my coursework, we focused a lot on spiritual formation practices and paying attention to who God was calling us to be and who God is to us in the highs and the lows of life. As a result of that, I learned a lot about myself as I journeyed through all of my cancer treatment and journeyed through the beginnings of my doctorate program, and really being stuck at home forced me to spend time reflecting and considering, you know, what do I have to learn? Who do I see God being in my life in this difficult time? And, you know, people will sometimes ask me, like, I'm so sorry that you had to go through this. If you could, what would you have done differently? And I don't really think that I would change anything. I don't wish that I had cancer. Like, I'm not glad that it happened. But I also don't think that I would not go through it if I had that opportunity, because I learned so much about myself and about who God created me to be and how I'm able to more fully live into that personhood that I have been made to live into, and about who God is as a God who is with me, who is mighty in the midst of difficulty. And that is something that will stay with me for a really long time. And I don't know how long it might have taken me to get to that point had I not gone through what I've gone through in the last 2 years. As a result of being attentive to God's presence in my life and who God is prompting and calling me to be, I have found my vocation. I have found my calling. I have started a ministry. I have built relationships with friends in more deep ways that I wouldn't have been able to if I hadn't gone through something so awful. I've seen the, you know, just presence of God in the midst of community coming alongside and reminding me that Clay and I were not alone as we went through all of this. And that to me is just an incredible sign of the mightiness of God, a God who is able to bear the weight of difficult circumstances, who is able to handle questions, and who is able to just take awful circumstances and help change them into something beautiful and good. And that repeated pattern in my life, from getting this cancer diagnosis to going through treatment to starting my doctorate and thinking through all of the themes that come with my studies and having these hard conversations with myself and with family and friends, and just seeing over and over and over the goodness of God in the midst of all of it, even if it's not noticing that goodness until I'm looking back at something. That just is an incredible thing that could never have been experienced or known had our God not been as mighty and as present as God is. And so I am just incredibly grateful for the mightiness of God.
I pray that the promised Messiah will be your wonderful counselor, your Prince of Peace, your everlasting Father, and your mighty God. And as we reflect on the gift that God has given to us, what a prime time and opportunity to receive this beautiful gift by professing Jesus to be our Messiah and thanking God for delivering on all of his promises. You know, this year, we lost some of our brothers and sisters in Christ. And for some family members, tonight will be the first Christmas without your loved one. I thought it would be appropriate to pay tribute to some of our sisters and brothers that we lost this year. Let's pay tribute.
I wish the heaven had visiting hours, so I could just show up and bring the news that she's getting older. And I wish that you met her, the things that you learned from me, I got them all from you. Can I just stay? The little ones will grow, and I'll still drink your favorite wine. And soon they're going to close, but I'll see you another day. So much has changed since you've been away. I wish that heaven had visiting hours, so I could just swing by and ask your advice. What would you do in my situation? I haven't a clue how I'd even raise them. What would you do? 'Cause you always do what's right. And we just took a while until my worries disappeared. I'll tell you that say, remember that the answer's in the love that we create. So much has changed since you've been visiting hours, and I would ask them if I could take you home. But I know what they'd say, that it's for the best. So I will live life the way you taught me and make it on my own. I will close the door, but I will open up my heart. Everyone I love will know exactly who you are. 'Cause this is not- since you've been away.
One of the reasons we come together to have a Christmas Eve service is to be reminded of the call to share the light of the world, to share Jesus. Now, traditionally, this is where we would start lighting candles. We would take a candle and share the light and pass the light and have a candlelight service. We don't have any candles. But the sentiment and the call still remains. If you have received the light of Christ, share that precious gift, the gift of God's pure light, Jesus Christ, our Messiah.
Sleep in.
God. Just a few moments, we're going to end our time together by singing Joy to the World. But before we do that, I just want to thank each and every one of you for giving us your time and joining us for our Christmas Eve service. I want to wish each and every one of you and each and every one of your families a very, very Merry Christmas. And I am praying that you will have a healthy and prosperous new year. Praying for big and great things to happen to each and every one of us in the upcoming year. Thanks for coming. Allow me to leave you with this blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to each and every one of you. And may the Lord give you his peace. God bless you. Thanks for coming. Let's sing together.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King.
Let every heart prepare him room. And heaven and nature sing.
Joy to the earth, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs implore.
While fields and floods, rocks, hills and plains, repeat the sounding joy. Repeat the sounding joy.
Repeat it, repeat the sounding joy. He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations.